Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life, broadcasting and recording live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and this podcast is all about tuning in with the miraculousness of life and liberating ourselves from the bullshit. I have my master's degree in positive psychology, and actually, I haven't announced this on social media yet, but I just found out and I'm so thankful, because the only way that this happens is by people who are familiar with my work, people who listen to the show, my clients, friends who have experienced the work that I do voting. But I just found out that I won Best Life Coach in Washington, D.C. for the third year in a row.
Amazing.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So, I mean, I have to say, so that's what I do. And I integrate positive psychology and life coaching into the show to help us attune with the miraculousness of life and liberate ourselves from the bullshit that gets in the way of that. That is the purpose of this show. A lot of the things we talk about are science-based, founded in the research on what actually allows human beings to thrive and experience sort of the very best of being alive. And some of it is my own personal philosophies and experiences. So all of that gets integrated in. But I have to say, you know, with the Best Life Coach in DC thing, I'm just super thankful that there are people who are willing to take the time to go to the city paper and put my name in. And that, you know, basically to everyone listening, to say thank you if you did that. And to just also say that never underestimate the power of a small action like that to a small business. You know, those things make a really significant difference for someone like me. And I think for most small businesses, whether it's a small boutique or a small restaurant, the only way that people are able to make it work doing a thing that they created sort of from scratch for their profession is if they have people who are willing to support and consume what it is that they're offering. So, you know, that I like that. That's my way of saying that it matters when you do that for other friends, you know, businesses that you love that are trying to survive and sustain. And I'm also very much aware that winning that award is perhaps less a reflection of me and more a reflection of the support that I am fortunate enough to have in my life. So I just want to say thank you, and also say that, you know, just typing my name in there to vote for me in the city paper makes more of a difference in my life than you might think. You know, it's like the difference between being able to support my family through my life coaching business and not. So that's real. So thank you. And that being said, today we have a topic to talk about that I have been wanting to talk about for a while. And I don't have a letter, but I hear people talking about it all the time. So I am just putting it out there. You ready to hear it, Alexia?
Okay, I'm ready.
So today we are going to talk about the very important subject of saying no, which is a subject that quite frankly thrills me. You know, have come to really relish the concept of saying no. That doesn't mean that it's not still hard for me, but I realized how much I love saying no and value saying no when I was actually having a conversation with a client. And we do the exercise that I have talked about on the show of really trying to hone in on what word best represents your intention for the whole year, sort of the word that you want to underpin everything you do that year. And as we were talking about it, many words started to float on the table, and I won't tell you all of them, but I had this moment where I was like, well, maybe your word is just no. And then that reminded me of a very, very popular book called The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes, which I have not read, mostly because the thought of that horrifies me. And so then I was like, maybe this is the year of no. And I just felt so giddy about that concept. And actually, this person ended up having a different word that was more of a value-based intention, similar to myself. My word of the year was patience. But I think that for both of us, that was a moment when we realized that there was a lot of energy and excitement and enthusiasm and like liberation, right, around this concept of having the year of no. So even though my word is patience, I have also continued to keep in mind this idea of the year of no. And quite frankly, it's an idea that really just makes me feel like I'm falling in love. I can't describe it. I think, and so then the question is why? Why am I so excited about having the year of no? By the way, nobody write that book. I'm claiming it. I need to write it ASAP. I haven't started yet, but it's mine. It's coming. So anyway, the year of no. Why is that so exciting? I mean, I think because there is this idea that you're supposed to be a person who says yes, you know, you're supposed to be a person who says yes to life and yes to things. And, you know, there's even this idea going around the internet amongst parents where you have a week of yes with your kids when you try to say yes to everything that your kid asks for. And all of that just sounds like so fucking exhausting and draining and horrible and out of control and not empowering, I guess. So the year of no is a concept that feels very empowering, but also very freeing to me. So I want to talk about the challenges that people have with saying no, and also some suggestions for how to say no, and just discuss what is going on in our modern world with the battle of yes versus no. So Alexia, I want to hear from you, especially because I don't have a letter today, and here I'm super interested, and absolutely no pressure, because there's a reason why the book The Year of Yes is a bestseller and people are always talking about it, right? But for whatever reason, for me, that book just, I can't even fathom having a year of yes. But the idea of a year of no just makes me feel on top of the world. So I'm interested what is resonating with you and what your thoughts are on yes and no.
That sounds good. I guess I'm still kind of waiting for you to tell me your answer. But if I had to say what I'm first thinking of, I don't know if... So I kind of changed what my one word intention was for the year. Slash, maybe I'm just starting my resolutions over again. I don't know.
That's okay.
But my word is discipline. And I think that in the last like year or so, even just like being in a like undergraduate college setting, it's just like really easy to say yes and to be looking for all different types of experiences. And and there's just so many things to say yes to.
Right.
But I think that I want to move more towards discipline and thinking of that as like a better form of self-love, or maybe a different one that I want to get stronger in. And so I think that hearing like a year of no resonates with me in that way, just because I think I have had a lot of yes, whereas now I need to be more disciplined and maybe introduce some no's and in the interest of my care and my love for myself.
I love that. I love the association between discipline and saying no. And that's something that I was thinking about in discussing this concept today. Because so the question is, you know, you said you're waiting for me to tell the answer, which I love. But I guess in terms of the answer, I think what you mean when you say the answer is more about what does this all mean, right? Why is saying no even important? And I think I have a number of thoughts, but the primary one is that my observation of myself, my clients, and my friends is that we have a problem saying no overall as a group of human beings, that we do not say no enough. And we end up overcommitting ourselves. We end up feeling drained. We end up feeling resentful because we are doing things that we don't want to do deep down. We end up feeling a lot of obligations. We end up saying yes to things because we don't want to let someone down. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We don't want to get fired. We end up saying yes for a large list of reasons that have nothing to do with us truly and deeply wanting to say yes. And then we're operating from this place of sort of scarcity of time, scarcity of energy, scarcity of capacity. And what often winds up happening is that we feel really A, stretched too thin, but B, we also feel that we have gone above and beyond what we really wanted to do. And then we're sort of trying to make up for it in other areas. So in other words, we're operating from a place of that the world needs to sort of make things up to us, right? We need to, let's say we stayed late at work every day because we wanted to make sure that we don't lose our job and that our boss is not angry with us, even though what we wanted to do was leave work and go exercise every day, but we didn't get to do that. And so then the weekend rolls around and we have so much pinned on that weekend where we're sort of expecting the weekend to grant us something in return for all of the sacrifices that we've made throughout the week. And then if, for instance, it turns out to be a yucky, rainy weekend and we don't get some of the things that we were sort of banking on to make up for the deficit that we incurred throughout the week, then we feel grumpy, we feel angry, we feel resentful. So I see this, quite frankly, as an epidemic of saying yes when we really don't want to. And I think that needs to be addressed. So then the question becomes, well, why do we do that? And that's when it gets into what Alexia shared, which I think that was a brilliant insight, Alexia, about discipline. And the conclusion that I've come to is that, well, there's a couple reasons that we say yes, even when we don't want to. But I think the primary one, the number one reason, is that it's easier to say yes than to say no. However, the downstream effects of saying yes are much more demanding than the downstream effects of saying no. So basically, when someone asks something of us, whether implicitly or explicitly, there's no conflict. It doesn't require any energy or resilience or anxiety or stress or any of those difficult emotions to just say yes and go with the program. However, once we've said yes, then we've bought ourselves in to expending energy in the future. And that becomes very problematic. Whereas on the other hand, saying no is the exact opposite. saying no is can be a pretty tremendous energy expenditure on the front end, whereby implicitly or explicitly someone asks us for something and we have to say no. And saying no means managing emotions. It means navigating a conflict conversation. It means potentially disappointing someone. It means trying to explain your no in a way that allows you to then proceed with that relationship or that job, etc., in a way that still feels healthful, if that is a goal, because there are a lot of, you know, we can't just expect that every time we say no that we're going to just throw away that friendship or throw away that job. We have to be able to say no in a way that allows that relationship to continue. Mm-hmm. And that is daunting, right? It's really daunting to have to tell your friend, no, I'm sorry, I can't make it to your party. It's really daunting to have to tell your client, this is one that comes up for me a lot, to have to tell your client, no, I'm sorry, I can't waive the late cancellation fee. You know, it's really daunting to have to tell, you know, your kid, no, I'm sorry, I can't drop everything and help you with that right now. Or no, I'm sorry, we can't go out for dinner or ice cream tonight. That one's not as daunting, but you get the point. Alexia, I heard you sort of give an uh-huh over there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious what is resonating with you. And also, if you too have felt this heavy burden of having to give a no, but then, you know, what we're talking about is if we take on that burden initially, then we actually relieve a lot of the burden on the back end.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking of what you said about having to say no to a party. Like, that just happened. That's like very specific instance where I really wanted to be there for my friend. But I knew it was going to be a really long drive and just a whole experience that I was going to have to go through. But something that I knew that was really important to her. And so I took all of that into consideration and decided I was going to go to the party, even though it caused me a lot of stress. And that's the other thing, too, is like once you say yes, like you said, like all of the anxiety that leads up to having to perform then and meet that expectation when you really don't want to.
Yes.
Like that is killer. And then
I could definitely say yes to that.
Yeah. And then in contrast to that, sometimes saying no comes with the anxiety of FOMO, which I think is a little less. I think that's more manageable than the other one, right? Like, I think you can find ways to reduce that and move on with your life.
Right.
But I think that there is anxiety to be evaluated in either situation.
Right.
I just think that the anxiety from saying yes and then having to perform is like very daunting. And can sometimes, even in that part, like that's what might ruin your relationship as well with someone because you just have a lot of anger and frustration towards that person for asking you to even do something, but you agreed to it.
Exactly.
So like very awkward.
Exactly. Yeah. Great points. Great points. It's so interesting, too, what you said about FOMO, because I think FOMO can definitely be one of those demons that we talk about. And I think it is for a lot of people. I will say one of my biggest demons that inhibits me from saying no is my likability demon and the desire to be liked.
I feel that as well.
Yeah. And that it creates anxiety around saying no in the first place, and also the reaction that I'm going to receive after I say no. But as we've learned, you know, I think the main thing is to check in and really try to find out whether your desire to say yes to something is coming more from a core value or more from a demon. And if it is coming more from a demon, then that's always a good indicator to step into that discipline, as you put it, Alexia, and say no, even though it will cause some stress and anxiety on the front end. So I want, so basically the premise there is that saying yes is easier and causes less stress and anxiousness and is requires a smaller energy expenditure on the front end when something comes up that either there's an implicit yes or no required or an explicit yes or no. It is easier and less exhausting to say yes. However, then we have to follow through that yes and do the thing that we've committed to or accept the treatment that we've committed to, et cetera, et cetera. And saying no is the exact opposite. It requires more stress. It requires, for me, some anxiety. It requires more of an energy expenditure on the front end to say no and to say no in a way that is still socially intelligent and sort of kind, because I do think that there's value in that. And yet there is also value in us being able to set boundaries for ourselves. So it is energetically demanding to say no on the front end. However, on the back end, once we've said no, then we just get to sort of rest with that. We haven't committed ourselves to something further. We haven't accepted something that we really didn't want to accept. So we end up, it's kind of like what they say about being organized in your house, where if you pick up, this is silly, and I actually think saying no is even much more powerful than that, because now that I have a family of four, I do the organization thing, but I never used to do it before. I was kind of like, it's fine with me if I have to commit my whole Saturday to picking up my house. But anyways, I think this is even more, but similar, you can get the similar concept whereby if every time you take off your clothes, you just put them away, then you never have the downstream effects of having to spend two whole days every weekend cleaning up your house. It's similar with saying no. You have to expend more energy at the moment when the question or the issue arises, but then you're free. You know, there's nothing more that you have to put your energy into after that. And ultimately, you end up preserving a lot more energy than you expend by expending the energy to say no on the front end. So that begs the question, and something that I see people really struggle with is, okay, once I have an intention to say no, how do I actually do it? And we're so unpracticed in saying no that we legitimately don't have an idea. So I have come up with a foolproof 3-option method for saying no. And what I teach to myself and to others is essentially that whenever anything comes up where a yes or a no is required, one of these 3 options will work in order for you to avoid saying yes when what you really want to say is no. And so I think the first step in the quote unquote year of no, or just honing your skill of saying no such that you're not draining yourselves with commitments that you really don't desire, is to be able to avoid saying yes too quickly. And I think that's the biggest mistake that people make, is they are not comfortable not committing immediately, right? It doesn't always make sense if somebody's like, oh, can you come to my party? And you're like, no. But the mistake that people make is they're like, oh yeah, I would love to. And then they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because they either have to backpedal and basically flake on a commitment they've already made, or follow through with a commitment that was made in like total non-intentionality. So here's my 3 steps to make sure that that never happens to you. Step number one, and they're not really steps, because you don't need everyone in every situation. You need just simply at least one of these options. So step number one is buy yourself time. Buy yourself time. So when somebody asks you for something or tells you about something, anything that would require of you an implicit or explicit yes or no, instead of giving them a yes or no, tell them that you need some time. Tell them that you'll check your calendar. Tell them that you have to talk to your roommate or your significant other. Tell them that you need to check your work schedule. Tell them that you need to think about it. So all of the above are excellent tools for buying yourself time. And when you buy yourself time, you dramatically reduce the likelihood that you are going to say an offhanded, unintentional yes when what you really want or need to say is no. So you fix that problem of committing to things carelessly, right? Because committing to things carelessly is very dangerous, because then we either, it becomes a no-win situation. We either have to bail on our commitments or follow through with commitments that we really don't want to be committed to. So step/option number one for always making sure that you are able to say no, if that is what you want to say, is buy yourself time. So for example, I don't know if this would have fit with your, with the party example you gave, Alexia.
Right.
I don't know if you had already done this, and it sounds like, and we'll get into also, you know, just because you decide to say yes to something that is challenging doesn't mean that you didn't want to. So there's sort of a fine line there. But the party one is definitely party plans, social activity is definitely one of the biggest challenges for me. And I know that I had to work really hard to do this by myself time thing, because most certainly my instinct when someone is like, oh, I'm having this party, like, can you make it, you know, or, oh, we're going to lunch tomorrow, would love to see you there. Oh, are you coming to the event tonight? To be like, yes, that sounds great, can't wait. Or, yes, I'm sure I'll make it, you know. No, no, Sarah, don't do it. I had to really train myself to either say, oh, you know, I have to talk to my husband, you know, or, oh, you know, maybe, but I have to see what's going on with the kids, or, oh, maybe, even before I had a husband and kids. Actually, in fairness, I was still pretty bad at this after getting married. But even if you don't have a husband and kids, you can use other things to buy yourself time. You can say, oh, I have to check my calendar. Oh, I have to double check and make sure that I don't have something that night. Or, oh, I'm definitely interested, but let me think about it. Or even saying maybe, right? Maybe, but I need to confirm. So anything to buy yourself time to avoid saying, yes, I will be there in that moment. And if you are able to do that, then what happens is that you liberate yourself to think about if this is something that you actually want to commit to. You can eliminate a lot of the guilt because you're not going back on your word. And in addition, the person that you're communicating with already starts to prepare themselves for a no, right? So it makes it more fair for everyone. You know, when somebody at the gym says, oh, are you coming to the party this weekend? And I say, we'll see, maybe. Then they're like, okay, she's probably not coming. And then if I show up, it's like a treat. But if I'm like, yes, I'll be there, and then I don't show up, and if somebody came because they were thinking that I would be there, then that's a letdown. It's almost like a small betrayal. And so I need to work really hard to put the effort in. And the truth is, to this day, it still feels uncomfortable for me to do that. When somebody says, oh, there's this thing, or there's this event, or there's this party, or can you meet up for this? And I say, maybe, or I say, oh, let me think about it and get back to you. Or I say, ooh, let me check my work schedule and let you know. That doesn't feel good. I want what would feel good in that very exact instantaneous moment would to be like, yes, I'd love to. But then after I said that, then the shitty feeling would begin. It does feel kind of shitty to say maybe. I don't enjoy that feeling. But then after I say that, I feel liberated. So Possibility number one is buy yourself time. Does that make sense, Alexia?
Yeah, I hear that.
So pretty simple. Just basically the bottom line is do not say yes or no immediately. Just say, I need some time to think about it. And you can give any host of things that you need to check, or you can just simply say, oh, hey, give me some time. I'll let you know, right? I will let you know. That is a good phrase to have in your back pocket. So option number one is buy yourself time. Option number two, which is another favorite of mine, is offer an alternative. So if you cannot or do not want to do the thing that you is being asked of you or proposed to you, then a great way to show that you want to do something and you don't hate this person, place, or thing is to offer an alternative option that does work better for you and that you would actually be excited about, right? So I think the social ones are definitely good possibilities there. So for example, there was a time in my life when I was definitely, actually this time is still now, but right now I'm doing a lot of saying no and just buying time because I feel my bandwidth feels so low. But there was a time when I felt like I had some bandwidth, but I started to realize that a lot of the social options that were being proposed to me just were not exciting and life-giving to me. I knew in my heart that if I said yes, I wouldn't look forward to it, right? So I personally don't really look forward that much to going out in the evenings. I don't look forward to going to bars. I don't look forward so much. It depends on the party, but sometimes I don't look forward to going to parties. But what I do look forward to is cooking, having time inside of someone's home or space where we get to sort of relax and maybe even do something that gets us prepared for later in the week. So for example, if I cook with a friend, maybe we can cook together and then maybe there will be leftovers. So that means that I don't have to cook another night. And so I realized that those are things I would look forward to because of the way that my brain works. You know, I'm looking towards the rest of the week. Sometimes I'm worried about money. Sometimes I'm worried about time. But doing something that allows me to bond with a friend, but that also sort of honors my financial feelings, my financial values, I don't know what the right way of putting that is, but my financial values, my financial feelings, and also my time, then that's something that I'll really look forward to, right? So maybe a friend would say, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? Do you want to go out to happy hour? And I would say, hey, I would love to see you. I would love to see you. Would you be up for coming over and cooking at my place instead? Or buying groceries and cooking together instead. And then that would become something that I wouldn't feel anxiety about how much money I was going to spend. And I wouldn't feel exhausted just sort of looking towards the event. I would actually feel excited and feel that my commitment was genuine and that it was something that I could actually generate positive emotion about. So I think that's a very simple example of offering an alternative. This is something that can also be done professionally. I mentioned already earlier that one of the areas that I most struggle with saying no, but that I have trained myself that I absolutely must is in my profession. My work is appointment based. So every day I have a certain number of meeting times available and clients who are going to come in for those meetings. And if a client cancels, you know, the day before the day of their appointment, then that usually means that there's no way for me to recuperate that income. And so that is why almost all life coaches and therapists who have, you know, long appointment slots and they really only have the ability to offer, you know, usually most people offer maybe 5 a day. Maximum is to have like 8 appointments a day. And so if a client cancels at the last minute, then there's a necessity to recuperate some of that income. And so built in is a late cancellation fee. And that's in the policies that everyone signs. However, of course, in practice, when people have to cancel, you know, it always feels like they're not canceling on purpose. Of course, there's always something, some important reason why they do have to cancel. And so what I have learned is that because of the nature of my profession and because the reason for cancellation is never, it's never like, oh, I just want to blow off your appointment. It's either, you know, I'm feeling kind of sick, or I had something last minute come up at work, or I have to do a last minute visit to a family member. Then I have learned that if I do not charge a late cancellation fee in those situations, I will feel used and resentful and it won't feel fair, but also it will really hurt my business. You know, it will really hurt my ability to sustain as a private practitioner. And so I've learned that I have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't waive the cancellation fee. However, and so this is where you're going to learn what option three is as well, but that's where I can offer an alternative. So what I'll always do, because my intention is certainly not to charge people and make them feel like they are just losing money for nothing, but my intention is also to have boundaries and protect myself and stand up for myself and be willing to have the uncomfortable conversation that's necessary for me to sustain my private practice in a way that feels okay and doesn't completely exhaust me of all of my resources. But one of the things that I'll often do is explain, you know, that I can't waive the cancellation fee completely. However, I would be happy to provide something of value in exchange for the cancellation fee. So whether that means, you know, if I do have an appointment open at another time in that same week, then I'll offer that. Oh, I can't waive the cancellation fee, but if you can come at this other time, then there will be no cancellation fee. Or if there's no option that week or they can't make the other option, I'll say, I'm sorry, I have to proceed with late cancellation fee, but I would be happy to do a 30-minute phone call, which is equivalent to the value of the cancellation fee. So that, I think, is an example of offering an alternative and also an example of how saying no and offering an alternative can fit in a professional setting, right? So, Alexia, questions about the offering an alternative option. Can you see places where that could apply in your life?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Good. Love
it. I do it all the time. And it just gives you a sense of agency over your life, too.
Exactly.
Which I really appreciate.
Love it. So the final way to say no, besides buying yourself time and offering an alternative, is to explain why not. So sometimes when you are asked for a yes or a no, you know immediately that the answer is no. So buying yourself time might feel disingenuous, and there might not be an alternative, right? You might just need to straight up say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. So that's where option number three comes in. Explain why not. And I love this option because I think it is the most frequently overlooked option. And there's this concept going around social media that says no is a complete sentence. And frankly, even though the year of no literally makes me feel giddy, and as you are all seeing, I am a huge proponent of no, I actually do not like the concept that no is a complete sentence. And here's why. Because the reason why saying no is more energetically taxing for us than saying yes is because there's a very, very real chance that us saying no will cause a negative emotion for someone else. And it may cause their feelings to be hurt. It may cause them to have to do something that they were hoping you would wave or offload for them, right? I think that happens not just in my profession, but in any profession when somebody is asking us to do something, maybe take something off their plate, etc. So there's a very real possibility that saying no is going to cause some emotion less than positive for the person that we're talking to. And the reality is that if we just straight up say no, that is socially unintelligent and insensitive, and it will be harmful for our relationships. Like, make no mistake about it. If your colleague says, hey, I'm really swamped, can you, by any chance, can you take this project off my plate? I know that you've worked with the client before, blah, blah, blah. And then you just say, no. How do you think that's going to go over? Well, Alexia, what do you think?
It's not.
Yeah, it's not going to go over at all. Maybe you won't even be able to work there anymore. But even if you are, certainly your colleague is not going to take kindly to it. It's going to feel sort of mean, maybe even nasty, but most definitely it will feel cold and insensitive. And I believe that when we are aware that saying no can come across that way, we can mitigate it and thereby liberate ourselves to say no. Because I think often we avoid saying no exactly because we are afraid of coming across and as cold and insensitive. And that is not a good reason to say yes, but it is also a good reason to not simply have your no be the complete sentence and explanation, because probably that will make somebody feel bad. And is it our responsibility to take responsibility for other people's emotions? No. But is it our responsibility to behave in a way that is socially aware and appropriate and that takes responsibility for the influence that we have over other people and engage with people in the way that we would like and appreciate being engaged with? Yes, absolutely. And so this is where explain why not comes in, because I do not believe that no is a complete sentence. And I think that making yourself vulnerable, being honest, disclosing more than feels necessary goes a very long way. So for example, if I do have to say no to a friend's party, it will go a really long way for me to explain what is going on in my life and how it got to this place that I'm having to say no to going to a friend's party, and the intention that I set for myself that's causing me to say no to that. So I might, you know, send them a message or give them a call and say, I'm so sorry, I have to say no to going to your party. And, you know, I promised myself that I would stop overcommitting. I've been feeling really drained lately. You know, these are the things that are going on at work. And I just found myself, you know, waking up in the middle of the night every night, feeling really worried and panicked. And I realized that I, at all costs, I just need to carve out some time to take care of my mental health and make sure that I rest my body, because I'm having panic attacks and I am taking it out on my family. And I realized that I needed to sort of at all costs reclaim my mental health, which like really sadly means saying no to all weekend plans for the next 4 months. That's the commitment that I made to myself. So I hope I'm so sorry that I can't be there, but I made this commitment to myself to not say yes to anything on the weekends for the next 4 weeks. And I would love to make it up to you in this other way. Or you don't have to say, I would love to make it up to you. You could just say, I made this commitment to myself. So that is an example of explaining why not. And when you explain why not, you have to be authentic. You have to be genuine. You can't make up BS. You can't exaggerate your symptoms none of that. But what you can do is be honest about the commitment that you made to yourself or the struggle that you yourself are having. So this is another one that I do with clients, and that feels really, it's really hard for me. It's really hard, but I have forced myself to do it, and it really does liberate me, and I'm proud of myself for doing it. So another explain why not is when sometimes people will often cancel at the last minute and the late cancellation fee doesn't apply, but it still makes it really hard for me to offer the time to someone else. And so what I've learned to do is to send them a message and say, hey, I totally understand that things come up in the last minute. I just need you to know that this is how it affects me, and this is how it affects my practice when people cancel this close to the appointment. So, you know, there's no hard feelings, but please keep it in mind moving forward. And so that's kind of an example of explaining why not. It's a little bit different, but it's an explain, right? And give information that is vulnerable and that is deep and that is true about why you feel that you simply cannot or do not want to say yes to this thing. And I believe that when we go out of our way to sort of bare our soul to someone, then they will understand our no and they'll accept our no, and they'll realize that our no is not about them and we're not doing it to be mean or rude to them. So we have to wrap up, but the message today has been get comfortable with saying no. If it resonates with you, you too can have a year of no. And the challenge with saying no is that on the front end, saying no does take more energy than saying yes. But the problem with saying yes is that on the back end, yes takes hundreds of times more energy. A, because we have to follow through with the yes, but B, because if we're saying yes to everything, then it will be extremely easy for us to quickly become overextended and resentful. So no is a skill that we must master, and understand that saying no is scary, right? It can be anxiety producing. It can be stressful. It can be exhausting, but be willing to take the hit of the difficult feelings that saying the no brings up in order to buy yourself freedom and authenticity and time and energy on the back end. And the three guaranteed ways to always make sure that you are able to say no when you want to say no that I've shared and that I've found to always work in any situation are: number one, first option, buy yourself time. In other words, do not make a commitment either way immediately. Buy yourself time. Tell the person you'll get back to them. You'll check your schedule, etc. Buy yourself time. Number two is offer an alternative. Offer an alternative. So if you aren't feeling excited or able or willing to do the thing that the person has proposed, propose something else that might also meet their need or hope, but that would feel good to you. And number three, explain why not. So this is where you say no. You don't make your no a complete sentence, because that's usually rude and insensitive, unless the person has already treated you in a rude and insensitive way. But rather say no and then bare your soul. Let the person see why saying yes to this thing would actually be going against yourself. And then if the person still wants to go against yourself, then F them. But if they understand why your no is going against yourself, then they won't take it personally. And also they'll still feel honored in the conversation. So those are the three ways to always make sure you say no, and enjoy your day or week or year of no. Give it a try and let me see how it feels. And if it helps you to even further awaken to the miraculousness of life.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.